The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
$1 billion stacked upright without an accident.
They'll keep it short and sweet. Family, religion, friendship. These are the three demons you must slay if you wish to succeed in business.
As a community, we are living way beyond our means. I don't mean that everyone in the community is living too well. Clearly many are not, and have barely enough to get by.
Sir, we'll need a new dangerous emission supervisor.
Yes, we'll find someone cheap. It's been a very lean year for us. Money fight!
Well, earlier we heard from Chris Uxley about Chuck Feeney's extraordinary generosity and frugality. So where is the difference between being tight and being frugal? Owen Sweeney has been taking a look at this for us. Owen, I suppose, where do you draw a line? Somebody says, Richard Curran, yeah, I know that guy. He's frugal, he's thrifty. That kind of sounds all right. And somebody else says, he's tight. Where's that line crossed?
I suppose the ultimate yardstick for Irish people is always when it comes to the round, isn't it? So I suppose if Richard Curran it was indeed thrifty, he probably would avoid the overpriced pints, perhaps the craft beer, which he doesn't regard, to quote your interviewee earlier, as value for money. So, you know, he would buy sensibly, but he would buy the round. If he was going a little bit, you know, on the meaner side, perhaps he would avoid tipping the lounge staff to bring the pints to him if he was ensconced with a group of friends.
Which depends on how you avoid it, what lengths you go to avoid it as well.
He would probably go to the bar, I suppose, you know, and rather than stiff the convention of tipping. And then if he was tight, I suppose Richard would take a call when he senses his round to coming up and his chance to buy the money or to buy.
You're
the
very
price.
Familiar with these techniques.
Well, you know, I'm not speaking.
It didn't even occur to me.
Yes.
Now, when we look at the frugal, sometimes you hear it said that some of the wealthiest people in society are actually quite tight or quite frugal. And there was a survey done of US millionaires which suggested this was one of the attributes.
Yeah, Sarah Stanley Follow, I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly, co-authored a book, The Next Millionaire Next Door, Enduring Strategies for Building Wealth, is the title of the book. She surveyed with her other author over 600 US and North American millionaires, and she identified various common factors. You know, obviously, I mean, what better country than America for it's a whole publishing industry based on ways to get rich and stay rich. So one of the wealth factors she identified was, of course, frugality. And she defined it thusly: a commitment to saving, spending less and sticking to a budget. And it's common sense. You know, again, going back to Chuck Feeney, it is value for money. And I suppose if it is a way of living and a way of doing business that made you very wealthy, why wouldn't it keep you very wealthy?
Now, what about some of the really, really wealthy people and whether or not they are overly frugal? Mark Zuckerberg, one of the richest men in the world, is he frugal?
Well, rich people are now mega celebrities. TMZ, that venerable, if you want to look at it that way, star spotting, scurrilous, muckraking, if you want to look at it that way, online news agency spotted Mark Zuckerberg in December shopping at Costco. Now, it was Costco in Mountain View, California, so it's still Silicon Valley. He may have been doing market research. He famously had McDonald's on his honeymoon. Does that tell us anything other than he likes McDonald's? I don't know, but he wears jeans, he wears a hoodie, he wears t-shirts, and he doesn't seem to spend a lot of. You mentioned outward wealth, you know, showings of wealth. Richard Branson, of course, famously doesn't like to have kind of very, I suppose, gaudy things or perhaps kind of, you know, very, very pronounced displays of his richness. But he does own an island. So, you know,
yeah,
how do you balance that up?
I remember reading an interview with Sting, the singer, in which Sting said, I'm not into material possessions. And the interviewer said, you own four houses. Yeah. But Warren Buffett, multi-billionaire, famously frugal?
Yes, indeed. Kind of on the Chuck Feeney level as well. He still lives in Omaha, Nebraska, in a house that he reputedly paid $30,000, it's in today's money, in 1958 for. He was on CNN in one of his rare interviews and it went into great lengths about how he loves his flip phone. He's not a man for the smartphone, or I imagine he doesn't probably make too many calls on it either. The most weird one, HBO did a documentary called Becoming Warren Buffett, and he's another McDonald's fiend. He has three options for his breakfast. breakfast, Richard. They retail at $2.61, $2.95 and $3.17. And he kind of debates with his wife which one he deserves that particular day, depending on how wealthy he's feeling.
So when he's flahoolock, he goes for it then. What about John Paul Getty? There was a famous kidnapping situation.
There was, his grandson. Yeah, John Paul Getty III. He was kidnapped in 1973. His granddad, John Paul Getty, the gold standard, I suppose, for meanness, and perhaps a little bit of paranoia, because John Paul Getty famously had a payphone for use of guests in his English mansion. But the ransom was set at around $17 million. He refused to pay it on his own logic that he had six other grandchildren and they'd all be kidnapped and he'd have to pay six ransoms. Eventually, he coughed up $2.2 million on the basis that his accountants told him that's what the most he could give that would be tax deductible. And then, furthermore, to top up the ransom demands, he lent his son, the kidnappee's father, another $1 million. But 4% interest.
Right. Finally, Jay Leno.
Jay Leno's a great
American one. TV.
Yes,
show host.
Indeed, he hosted the Tonight Show for many years, then left it and then came back again. He's double jobbing. He had the day job when he was starting out in comedy. He worked in a garage as a mechanic, and he saved all his stand up money, all his comedy earnings. He spent the day job money. When he got the Tonight Show and became this megastar in US broadcasting, he got up to $30 million a year, saved all of that, Richard, and he had a Sunday night gig famously in LA where he'd do his own performances, and that's the money he lived on.
What about you, Owen? Would you describe yourself as frugal?
I'd get my round, but I'd probably go to the bar.
Owen Sweeney, thank you very much for that.